Going to read from verse 16 to 21 and try and draw out three headlines from there. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And going over to chapter 44. But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I'll pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They'll spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write in his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. Okay, if we can have our first reference up, please. David, thank you. Yeah, this is Exodus 14, yes. This is what the Lord says, who made a way through the sea. It's amazing, that whole situation, wasn't it? Where the people were confronted with this completely new situation of having to escape from Egypt and have a totally new situation. Colin talked about change this morning. And there's a saying we have, or a joke we have, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? Answer is change. See? So you think, we don't like change, it doesn't come naturally. And Colin, I thought, spoke to us very well this morning. You just think of the changes the people had to make then as they moved into a whole new situation. And that's what we've got. We've got a changing circumstance in front of all of us, individually and collectively, because of what the nation's going through and the world, in fact, is going through at the moment. Think of the changes they had to make, where the average Israelite in Egypt would get up in the morning, know what his work schedule was for the day. However hard it was predictable. He knew what his work was going to be. He knew what his food supply was going to be. He knew what his circumstances were going to be. And there is a sort of security in the known. And later on, we know they grumbled and moaned because they missed the leeks and the cucumbers of Egypt and were saying, actually, we prefer slavery and the predictable and the known to actually stepping out into the unpredictable with God. So change requires faith. Now this verse is really good. Moses answered the people, easier said than done when the top echelons of military are thundering down behind you. Don't be afraid, stand firm, you'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. And wasn't it amazing deliverance? And we reflect on that, of course, in baptism today in the name of Jesus. Through the waters of baptism, that wonderful act of deliverance from all the power of the enemy on the cross. And that's fantastic. We can celebrate this sort of type, if you like, of the deliverance we see through Calvary. And it's good the Lord has totally defeated Satan and is far above all powers and dominions and everything right now, which is great. And we celebrate that and the salvation the Lord brings. The Egyptians you see today, you'll never see again. And look at that verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be... still. It sounds so glum. We need only to be still. But it's amazing the way they had to really trust the Lord in a new way for provision. How the Lord was going to supply, and he gave them manna, didn't he? On a daily basis. And then on the day before the Sabbath, they got a double lot, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. That's astonishing, isn't it? If they tried to pick up a double lot of manna any other day of the week, it went off because they tried to store it. So they had to learn to live on a daily basis of supply in the Lord. I've just got this feeling that economically what the country's going through, that's going to have to be a lesson that's going to have to be relearned in different ways, either collectively or as individuals, really looking to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Trusting the Lord in a new way for provision. And we don't always know how he's going to do it. I think there's enough testimonies in this church to the Lord's providing over the years in surprising ways that means that you're still here today. Unexpected ways. Answers to prayer for work or income or gifts or however the Lord does it. All of us to date in all our years and every day on this planet, all our needs have been met. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's a really positive thing to hold on to. They had to trust the Lord in terms of the change in their food supply. Their work patterns were very different and the environment of the desert was so different from the regular water systems that they would have known in Egypt. So they had to really trust the Lord. And a big thing they had to learn was that their security was not in the material circumstances they had that they could see, but in the Lord and his faithfulness and his character and his ability and willingness to provide, often in ways extraordinary. Now, I've got a quote here from Oswald Chambers, who was a missionary in the last millennium now. He said this: certainty is the mark of the common sense life. Certainty is the mark of the common sense life. Gracious uncertainty is the mark of the spiritual life. When we abandon ourselves to God, we are uncertain of the next step, but we are certain of God, who is faithful. I think Sam prayed about God's faithfulness this morning. Leave the whole thing to him. It is gloriously uncertain how he will come in, but he will come. And perhaps in this society we live in, with so many established institutions and everything else that has been a benefit that we just got so used to, the Lord might just be calling us to step out and trust him in new ways. Our security is not in our circumstance, but in God, in his faithfulness of character and his ability to uniquely meet everyone's need to his glory and to the fulfillment of his purpose amazingly. There's a wonderful bit there in John 6 when the disciples said, oh, there's too many people, when Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They panicked, got the calculators out. You know, 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough for this lot. But Jesus, it says there, he tested them with this because he already knew what he was going to do. We don't. I think this applies to our relationships, our homes, everything. The Lord already knows what and how he is going to do what is needed to meet the need, fulfill his purpose in making us like himself and bringing praise to him. He knows how he's going to do it. What we need to do is, as I think our radar needs to be much more sensitive to the Spirit of God. So while we rejoice in the principles we learn from that time there, the Lord says, look, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing something new. I believe that primarily it's a prophecy about the new covenant, the work of the cross, the new way of access to God through the Spirit, through the blood of Christ, through the work of Christ, a whole new covenant, the whole new way we know the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. That outpouring is tremendous. And that is the thing we can really celebrate today as new covenant people. Rejoice in that. I'm with you always and in you. That's tremendous, isn't it? All temples of the Holy Spirit. But he says, look, I think there's another way it applies. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Now, like the people of old, to be able to perceive what the Lord's saying, I think Ruth rightly said, we're going to have to learn to be a lot more still as a way of life, because the Lord actually is quite subtle in a lot of what he does. I noticed it from Jan Hall. The Hall sent us a card, and Jan's done a painting on it. And the colours are quite subtle. And of course, God is an artist. And when you look at the way Jesus came into the world, actually the things were quite subtle and took their time. You really had to have eyes to see what was going on in Mary if you're just one of the neighbours. Would you have known? You'd have to really be tuned in, really skilled in interpreting these alignments of planets going on that brought the wise men onto the scene. All at the right time, all in different ways. Joseph had to be able to discern the word of God in his dreams. And we sort of read it as if it goes crash, bang, 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 boom, boom, done, right, all in one day, sorted. Prophecy, fulfillment. But actually God moves in very subtle ways, and you see that in the colours. Just say, even in a grey sky, there are subtleties of shade. When you had one of the believers, Arabic believers, came to visit us in Biggleswade, centre of the universe, that renowned emporium of life and vitality. Driving through the Bedshire countryside, he said, what's really struck you here, Salim? And he said, I'm just in awe of the subtle shades of all the trees, the colours. I hadn't thought about it. But God is an artist with great subtlety, and very often it needs a sensitivity to his spirit to actually pick out what he's doing. So, to be still is absolutely the right word. Stillness and submission to the Lord, submitting ourselves to him and being still, increases our sensitivity. If we're too busy, you can miss things. And I think it needs a stillness, like up in Burwood Park. There's a lake in the middle there somewhere. You found that yet, Sam? There's a lake in the middle. And used to often go there, and it's very still, and it's like a real mirror image, some superb trees there. But it's a stillness there, and the slightest disturbance on the water, even a little gnat landing on it would detect the ripple. You could see it. And Paul says in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule or govern your heart. So we need to learn to cultivate as a work-life balance those times of stillness where the irritations, different things can be processed by the Lord in prayer, and actually we can begin to pick out what he's saying. Now, Jean and I used to go on holiday in a place called Blakeney on the Norfolk coast. Blakeney, anybody never know? The second great emporium of life in the east of England. It's a beautiful place there. And it's like, it's very, very flat. So when the tide comes in, you've got to watch it. But we're out walking there in the tidal areas, in the grasses. And we just stopped and listened. You could hear the water coming up these gullies, and it was very slow, it was very steady, but you could hear the disturbance in the grass. And you could only hear it if you stopped and listened. Thought, thank you, Lord, there's something there you're telling us. There's a principle of stillness. Now, practically, we've had several words over the past weeks or months about church isn't just in here, but it's out there. Different speakers have said about it. Chris Hill, Colin this morning used a Tesco example, didn't he? You know, if somebody in Tesco, you're out shopping, says, tell me about the way of the Lord and salvation, you don't book a time, you say, we do it there, in Tesco. And I've just noticed in this past week, in three consecutive days, the same sort of incident has happened to me. This will be news to you, Jean, never mind. It's all right, obviously. We went to see our eldest son and his wife in Guernsey this past week. So we flew off on Tuesday and got back Friday afternoon, and no issues with the planes at all. But each morning when we're at Phil's house, I'd walk off to a little supermarket just around the coast. It's idyllic, really. What a morning walk, round the coast, lovely and quiet. Get a paper, come home. Thursday morning, when I was walking along, this lady came out of her house and said, oh, Happy New Year, or whatever it is we all say this time of year. And just as I was walking along, she just began to talk about her life story. She's going to sort out her two horses, this, that and the other. It was only about 3 minutes we were walking in parallel. She just talked about her life. I didn't say anything, and the concern she had about this and the concern she had about that. And I thought nothing of it and ended up with a quick quip, one of my quick, which I think are quite funny. And that was it. She went off some path to sort out her horses and things. But I thought about that and thought, no, Lord, what are you saying here? This complete stranger. There must be a way I can be more sensitive to your spirit to drop in a word of encouragement. So I thought of two words that can help. Ale and awe. Ale is a listening ear. And really learn to listen and be more sensitive to people. The two go together, sensitivity to the Lord, to people. And awe is a word of encouragement. So by the time I got to the shop, the papers hadn't got in that day because of the fog. So there we are, that's something else. I thought, no, Lord, sorry, forgive me for that. May there be more opportunities. So the next day, on Friday, we were there in Guernsey Airport, last plane out, in the duty-free shop. Confession is good for the soul. I won't tell you what Jean bought. No. But we thought between us, we got some, I'll tell you what we got. Got some tobacco for our uncle, who loves it. It's so much cheaper there. One box. And there was a guy standing next to me, who was an Irishman. He just said, what's our allowance? Is it a box of 200 or 400? And worked it out, whether it is, it's probably 200. And I said, you wouldn't want to have too many of that. And just like that, he began pouring out his life story. I used to smoke 80 a day, he said. And on alcohol, and since my wife died last year. I was just standing there. And he came out with all this stuff about his life story. And as it just all came out, and he realized, and I just said to him something like, 80 a day. You could have built a house with that over 30 years because of the cost. And he said, well, he's realized that. And I just felt I had a little word from the Lord for him, which was, look, take care of yourself because you're worth it. And he looked at me, yeah. He went in. Wasn't that amazing? And we bumped into him once or twice too when we got out at Gatwick this end. And then yesterday morning, New Year's Day, went to get a newspaper in our local shop. And there was a lady just coming out. You said, oh, Happy New Year. She said, we all say that, but it's boring, I suppose, by now. I said, oh, Happy New Year. That was it. I went in the shop, got the paper. They had one. That was pretty good. And she was still standing there on the way out looking at a notice in the window. And I thought to myself in the shop, what I really should have said was something more spiritual, like, even if I say, have a blessed New Year. And there she was. So I said, what we should have said to you, instead of Happy New Year, which is boring, I said, have a blessed New Year. Immediately she said, I need that because I've had leukemia for 10 years. Is that amazing? That is just so amazing. And she started walking off, and we only paralleled each other for about a minute. She was going a different way. And just in that, just said, well, look, may God really bless you this year and see you through all the trouble. You must have had hard times. She said, yeah, it's been difficult, uncertainty and all that. But just a little word for the Lord. I think, Lord, are you doing a new thing? It says here, the wild jackals and the owls honour me because I'm making a stream away in the desert. And I remember David Pawson, the famous expositor, years ago saying, it's the people who are not in the church. God's working out there. There's people there. He's making a way where the wild jackals and the owls, they honour me. The people we wouldn't normally expect. I think, Lord, there's something new going on here. Lord, make me more sensitive. Got to be ready. It's readiness each day, isn't it? Just be ready each day for whatever and wherever, you never know. I think it's an astonishing privilege when anybody just begins to, from nowhere, say. So we start with a listening ear, empathy, And then I think the Lord will give a simple word just to drop it in. Lord, help me. I'm asking, I want to be more sensitive, more in tune with this gentle rustling of the tide just coming in and just moving these things around. But it needs stillness. You know, I've been busy for years. My lesson for this year is stillness. And in that stillness, it's easier to detect those little ripples from the Lord. Just this one, that one, that one. And it's going to be unique for all of us. And just a concluding thought before we have communion is, I've got two concluding thoughts. You know, we're supposed to be a light on a hill. You have a picture of a dark night with a city on a hill. If you go to northern Israel, been there a few times, and you're driving through those down to Haifa from Nazareth, there's a lot of massive hills. You can see these townships on a hill, but it's not a single light. Every house, you can see a lot of lights on the hill. It's not one. It's a lot make up that township. And we together are collectively those individual lights. But actually together, it makes a lot of difference. There's things we do on our own and things we do together. Amen. I'd just like to finish with a quote from David Wilkinson. Wilkerson, not, I always think Wilkinson's because of the shop Wilkos down there. Anyway. Hungry for more of Jesus. That's a good buy there. It's Quid, one of the £1 classic series. And he says this, quite telling. He's talking about our busy professional lives in the Western world, where we've got to do this and maximize time, that and all the other stuff. And he says this, we've mistakenly derive our spiritual joy from service instead of from communion. See? We derive our spiritual joy or well-being or self-worth, whatever we call it, more from service than from communion. We do more and more for a Lord whom we know less and less. See? So, what he wants from us more than anything, I believe, is this abiding in him. Therein lies much fruit. But it's for each of us, within the economy of each of our timetables, to find those regular points each day of stillness, listening, being ready each day and responsive to the Holy Spirit. Because he is making a way. I believe he is. And he wants many, many, many people to be touched with his grace, of which we are all agents. Okay? Bless you. Let's just pray, can we? And we need to really offer ourselves to the Lord, our hearts, and ask him to shape and form and strengthen that sensitivity part of us that is where he can draw on our canvas, the canvas of our lives, is what he wants to as an artist. You know, each canvas has a foundation, goes on first, and then he draws. Lord, my receptors to you, what that part of me that sees you and recognizes you, Lord, write on this in a new way, sensitize it in a new way, enlarge my capacity in a new way to really perceive your voice, that still small voice, that subtlety of the way you speak, through the word, through circumstance, through different ways, Lord. I just want to be much more ready, sensitive in you day by day.